Well, hey there, it's March 27th, 2008, and this is Deb, the Horoscope Lady, asking you this week, as I do every week, do you know where your planets are? For instance, the sun right now is in 13 degrees of Pisces, and yes, I know it's spring here in the northern hemisphere and autumn in the southern hemisphere, but the sun is still in 13 degrees of Pisces. Mars is crusading there still through Gemini. The North Node and Saturn are in Leo. The Moon is hanging out in Scorpio right now. Pluto and Jupiter are in Sagittarius. Let me see, Chiron and Neptune are in Capricorn. The North Node, Venus, Uranus, and Mercury are all having a party in Aquarius. That's where everybody is this evening. And what does that mean to you? Well, if you know where the planets are in your chart, and I'm speaking specifically sidereal planets, then this is a marvelous tool that you can use to just help get through your life and make cool and groovy decisions and even your best shopping days, which I always kind of like throwing in there too. Let me see. Right now, no, everybody being born right now is being told that the sun is in Aries and they are a sun sign Aries, but that is not true. And it just kind of misinformation gets passed on and on and on, and that's how so many people know about it. I've got a 9-year-old daughter who was asking me this morning on her way to school, you know, Mom, what's the difference between the astrology you do again and, you know, why am I a Libra and, you know, with to all your friends, and why does somebody keep telling me, you know, Grandma keeps telling me I'm a Scorpio? And I said, well, because a long time ago when the sun crossed the vernal equinox, it was the first degree of Aries. That's what tropical astrologers still use. They say that's the first degree of Aries. And it used to line up like that. However, with the precession of the equinoxes, the way we spin through the galaxy, right now, if you could see where the sun was, it's actually in Pisces. Over 2,000 years, it's moved back quite a bit. So that's the way that works. And it does work better. I've been doing this for an awfully long time, and I switched to this system simply because I got better information. And with better information, you can make better decisions. Everything on, you know, what days to pick to go out to do things, to when to plan your vacation, when to make those sales calls if you're in that kind of business, or whatever else you're doing. So we will open up the phone lines here briefly in a minute. That actually, well, they're open right now if you want to call. I do want to do political stuff only because I'm here on the East Coast next to Washington, D.C., and I can't help myself. This week, both leading Democratic contenders were awfully disappointing in their actions. Of course, with Hillary Clinton being caught in a lie, a rather ridiculous lie, about being under sniper fire years ago, and we'll be looking at her chart. And I'm also going to be looking at her chart compared to Jack Nicholson, who is backing Hillary Clinton, and Barack Obama, of course, the last 2 weeks has been fighting off guilt by association for statements his reverend has made, anti-American statements as well as anti-white, and I'll be looking at not only Barack Obama's chart, but Barack Obama with Oprah Winfrey's chart, who has been one of his staunchest supporters from the get-go. And the other thing I wanted to mention, I didn't get a lot of emails this week, I responded to most of them, and I'll be using those charts on air as examples of sidereal astrology and how that moves through if we don't get too many calls, and that's okay. I get people's permission before I do that. But I did want to mention one more time about this terrific cleansing I've been on. I am so energized about it. It is actually one of the few things that has excited me like this in a long time, because it's not just a diet. It does cleanse the toxins out of your system, which allows people, all kinds of things. You're healthier, you think better, and that's the part I'm loving about it. And of course you lose weight because all those fat cells are going. And this is it's not a beta blocker, it doesn't block fats, it doesn't do any of that stuff. It actually, gets them out of your system, allows your body to, get rid of cells that it no longer needs, and cleanses them out. The product is called Isagenix, They are shake and drink products, 270 nutrients. And if you go to the information about my page, you'll see the link to my site on Isagenics. But how you get there is Debs Detox, D-E-B-S-D-E-T-O-X, .isagenics, I-S-A-G-E-N-I-X.com. And someone asked me, well, one of the first things, and I asked the first question myself, is it expensive? And it turns out to be, if you order, it's a lot cheaper than Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers. I will tell you that, because I have done both of those. Is it expensive? It's going to get expensive for me, because I've already dropped two dress sizes in 2.5 months, and I'm looking to drop another dress size. So, yeah, I'm going to have to buy lots of new clothes. So, you know, to answer the question I got earlier, I guess last week, you know, is it expensive? I'm like, yeah, considering I'm going to have to go out and buy myself a whole new wardrobe. But you know what? I can live with that kind of expense. All right, let's get to politics here. And again, this is all in sidereal astrology, which is based on the constellation. So if planets sound a little bit different than what you think you're used to hearing, they're just going to. They're properly positioned against the constellations, and feel free to call in and ask about that. All right, let's first start, let's start with Hillary Clinton and what was going on with her this past week and how she's writing this one out. Okay, first of all, Hillary Clinton was born October 26, 1947. Anybody born October 26th of any year, the sun will be in Libra. It will not have gotten to Scorpio. It will be in Libra. So there you go with that. Chicago, Illinois, 8:10 p.m. in the evening. Okay, her chart this year. First of all, that Mars, which has been, and people have been feeling this, whether they know anything about astrology or not, Mars normally takes about 6 weeks to go through a sign, and, you know, it zips through pretty quick, and that's about all the energy of Mars any one area of your life needs. And that's good. You know, it gets in, kind of shakes stuff up, makes you do stuff, gets real excited, you know, and you get excited and it's like, you know, I got to clean up my closet, I have to apply for a new job, I got to look at my money, you know, I got to do something around the home, I got to get romantic again. You know, it's a good thing. Every other year it does something called Mars goes retrograde, like Mercury retrograde. It appears to be moving backwards in the sky. And this time, even though it was retrograde for about 2 months, it is spending 6 months in the planet, in the constellation Gemini. It will be there until the end of April, got there in September. So no matter if you're a sun sign Gemini or not, and if you are a sun sign Gemini, which means you were born probably between June 15th and July 15th, and I'm talking about the United States here, or actually North America, South America, on that side of the timeline, it could even be June 14th if you were born in England or on the other side of the timeline from where I am. You had a heck of a lot of things happen, things forcing you to change, things coming up, whether you wanted to see them or not, lots and lots of energy. But even if you're not a sun sign Gemini, Mars is going to be in Gemini, in your life, somewhere right now. And for Hillary Clinton, because of the time of day she was born, it's her rising sign. It's her first house. So it is, I mean, for a politician in particular, it's good because you're getting attention. You're redoing yourself. But man, oh, man, oh, man, it is one attack after another. And if you do something wrong, you know, it's going to be brought to your attention, and you will have to deal with it. So I think her answer was, oh, and this is so shameful, that first of all, she misspoke. I thought, no, that's not really misspeaking. And the second was, she says she talks so much, you know, says so many words during the week, you know, she just, you know, misspoke, and that was it. Lighten up. And I thought, oh, my, woman, you're capable of better than that. You absolutely are, but there you go. How much did this hurt her? Apparently, of course, the Republicans are going, yippee-ki-yay. What was happening? I don't think it's really hurt her yet. I really don't. This is going to kind of come and go. Mars, again, is in that first house. It's at 14 degrees, but it is doing something called a trine to her midheaven. So if you've got Gemini rising, you don't necessarily have to have Aquarius as a midheaven. Since sidereal astrology, midheavens do not always come in the 10th house. So it's actually, I mean, she's golden. It's not affecting her fan base already that she has. It just won't. So, you know, if you didn't like her and you weren't going to vote for her, you're still not going to vote for her. If you voted for her or will be voting for her in a primary, you're still going to vote for her in that primary. It's not going to have a lasting effect. Now, I want to compare Hillary Clinton's and Jack Nicholson's chart. Jack Nicholson was born April 22nd, 1937, at 11:20 a.m., Neptune, New Jersey. When he was born, the sun was in, actually was in Aries, 9 degrees of Aries. So it was April 22nd. And not a surprise. He's got, including his midheaven, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things in Aries. And, of course, he has all those aggressive kind of almost, well, he has played a role of a lot of crazy people. So there you go with that. Interestingly enough, all that stuff in Aries that he has, and, again, that's five, well, three planets, one personal point, and an outer planet, all opposing Hillary Clinton's four things she's got in Libra, which is the Sun, Chiron, her Venus, and her Mercury. And this is one of the things I love about astrology. You know, you always hear about opposites attracting. People can see, and for those of you who are not familiar with it, Aries and Libra are exactly 180 degrees apart. They are opposite each other. You couldn't get two people more dissimilar than these two in a room. However, they have these interesting points that connect, and he really values, as well as she does him, they see the good in each other. They see the point, the perspective that other person offers. His Saturn is also conjunct her moon, same degree, 6 degrees Pisces for both of them. And when you see that in a chart, now granted, there's going to be, wherever your Saturn is, this is one of my pet peeves about astrology, so let me just get this out right now. Wherever your Saturn is, or any planet, someone being born in a 30-day period for 12 months a year, their moon is going to conjunct whatever planet it is in your chart because the moon moves so daggone fast. So this is not, you know, people will say, oh, you know, my Venus and your moon are together. We have this karmic tie, you know, we're soulmates and whatever. Well, you and 2 billion other people, because that moon is going to be in that same position once a month. So I'm not saying that these two are destined to have a relationship. I'm saying it's very obvious, this connection. And with his Saturn, he will support her. He will stand next to her no matter what bad press she gets. So, I mean, that's the kind of guy you'd like to have in your corner, essentially. So there is that. His ascendant is 12 Cancer, which, yes, it is very emotional. Doesn't like, it's interesting because they pick up on all those emotions and whatnot. And basically, for as much as this man is out in the public, and I've said this about actors in general, some of them my clients, not Jack Nicholson, I'm not claiming him as a client here, but some of my clients, they have these water sign risings, and they're actually kind of introverts. Now, Jack Nicholson is not an introvert, but they don't like to be out in the crowd so much. They love their work. They show up, they do their work, and they go home to their wife and children, or, you know, husband and children, and they do not, you know, seek attention of a lot of people out there. They're too sensitive for it. But anyway, his ascendant, which is Cancer, and I know people don't think of him as a touchy-feely guy, but there it is, actually is very close to, it picks up all her stuff in Cancer. She's got Mars, Pluto, and Saturn, very different combination, in Cancer. So there is this strong connection with what, how he filters the world, how he, what his persona is, you know, his, in his personal life, as opposed to her masculine energy, her subconscious energy, and the energy of her Saturn, which is everyone's, you know, if it doesn't break you, it'll make you, you know, her foundation there. So and that's kind of, I could see why, you know, he absolutely, apparently he's got something, I have not seen it, on YouTube promoting her and has been one of her staunchest supporters. And, you know, they're just so, he gets her. He gets what she's trying to do. Which is, you know, kind of interesting, considering the parts that he has played, which, you know, actors, that's what they, you know, pretend to be. It's not necessarily who you are, that he would go for this woman, you know, to be this first woman president. I thought that was interesting at any rate, and I see this connection. I want to see what, just for giggles, to see what's kind of going on with Jack Nicholson's life. I know there's also some bad press about the weight that he's gained, but for heaven's sakes, the man's in his 70s, and, you know, yes, I think detoxing would be good for him, too, but, you know, it's like, you know, you can do what you want at that age. All right, again, April 22nd, 1937, at 11:20 a.m., Neptune, New Jersey, Jack Nicholson, when he was born, the sun was in Aries, and it was the time of day he was born. It was up there in what's called the 10th house, which is a career house, and he is certainly in the, his career life has always played these aggressive Aryan parts, mixed with a little bit of crazy, sometimes a lot of crazy, which could be explained beautifully astrologically by that Cancer rising, you know, that intensity there. Okay, what, I don't think, you know, this he doesn't have anything right now in his chart, but I will tell you, for those who do watch Jack Nicholson, or, you know, think anything at all about his acting, that whole Mars thing has been retrograding in his 12th house. So if he has not had to go to the hospital for little things, fix up some little things, he has certainly been in the hospital because a friend or a close relative has been there. And next year, after Thanksgiving, Jupiter will be, he'll be having what's called a Jupiter return. Jupiter right now is in Sagittarius. When it goes into Capricorn shortly after Thanksgiving, he'll be having his own Jupiter return. And at that age, that can do one or two things. That can, you know, he could have another, what is it, his career could, you know, have more films come out, get more attention. I'll be doing more things, and with this seventh house, even meeting more people. Or Jupiter is the one that will take you away sometimes, because and it's a pleasant way to go. You know, it's like you go out and you, you know, play 18 holes of golf, you know, have lunch, go home, lay down, and kind of go in your sleep, which is kind of a nice way to go. So that's Jupiter returns will do that too sometimes. So for those of you who are Jack Nicholson watchers, watch to see what happens to him after. After the election, essentially, will he be knighted, essentially, be doing stuff for the Clinton presidency, or will be he be playing on a stage somewhere way up above and out? So, and that's all I'm going to say with that. Okay, Barack Obama, let's see what's going on with him and how he is weathering this storm astrologically. Barack Obama was born August 4th, 1961, at 1:06 p.m., Honolulu, Hawaii. Now, if you heard me back a few weeks ago, well, first of all, when he was born, the sun was actually in 18 degrees of Cancer. So you think it would pick up the Jack Nicholson stuff, but it didn't, because he doesn't have anything else that went with it. You know, it wasn't anything else that kind of intrigued Jack Nicholson there. But I had said about a month ago, I guess, Saturn was directly, transiting Saturn was directly on his part of fortune, which is what it sounds like. It's a good thing. And if you have Saturn sitting on your part of fortune, it's usually not very good fortune. And that literally was the week that he swept, you know, all those primaries. And I said, his birth time can't be right. There's no way astrologically this could happen. Well, actually, there was, and that's because I was going to start fooling around with his birth time to see if, you know, something else made more sense. But that is the time when his pasture was saying, of course, he's been saying things for the last few years, of course, about America, that they're not very particularly American, more anti-American, and not been saying very flattering things about Caucasians, which would include Barack Obama's mother. But that was just, the reporters were just getting that information. It was just getting ready to come out. So that was Saturn on that part of Fortune saying, yeah, you might look lucky now, but this is going to squelch this. So how is that working out with it? Again, it's, I don't know. That's still going to play out. I'll tell you when we're going to know for sure. It won't be in the month of April. It will be in May when Mars, transiting Mars, gets out of Gemini, mark my words, and it gets up to Cancer. And about a first week, week and a half into May, right after Mother's Day, you know, somewhere in there, there is going to be this angry backlash about, now it's either he's going to respond to someone who is saying something or defending his position, or the public is going to insist, you know, hey, what did you mean by this? You know, you have been saying this, you know, put your money where your mouth is. Why, of course, were you sitting there, you know, when your pastor was saying what they were saying? You know, why didn't you get up and leave? Which they've said a little bit, but it's not, they have not held his feet to the fire about it. Somebody will be holding his feet to the fire by the second week in May. I'm thinking actually even a little bit earlier than that. So there you go with that. Still has great chance. I mean, he looks good. I mean, astrologically, he still looks sound. Got those nodes up there playing around with. The nodes are interesting. And when I say the nodes, I know some of you listeners might not say, well, what's that? It's not a planet. No, it's not a planet at all. What a node is, and actually all the planets have one, or have two, a north and a south one, and we generally only talk about the moon's nodes, it's where that planet crosses the ecliptic every day as it rises and sets. And again, of course, this is our perspective from the Earth. And Vedic astrology is called the Rahu and Ketu, the dragon's head and the dragon's tail. And there are about desires, and no promises are made. You know, you can desire part of it all your life and never get it, or you can get it and it won't do you any good. The head is a little bit better, obviously, than the tail, at least it's the thinking part. The tail is usually our default mode that we go into that doesn't do us service. It does not do us any good things. So when the nodes are transiting, and they do, they flip around, and they take about 18 months to get through a constellation, lots and lots of things can happen in people's lives. They can get lots of opportunities to do things. The trick is, and I say it's a trick, it's to recognize what is a real opportunity and work for that, say yes to that. And you have to. You have to recognize that, yes, this is a desire of yours that brought this opportunity to you, but you got to work for it. And once you get it, you may not want it. And that's okay. I always tell people, well, that's okay. Now you know for sure that you don't want it, as opposed to always having it hanging out there thinking, if only, you know, if only I could have, if only that had happened to me. But those transiting nodes can play havoc. They can give you great opportunities, and they can take things away. That dragon's tail can just, you know, kind of swoosh it away. And he's had that dragon's tail going over Mars, Pluto, his part of Fortune, his own north node, which will happen every 18 years, or 36 years by the time it comes all the way around, and Uranus. It's going to keep doing that, and then finally it's going to get into Cancer, because it's the only thing out there that moves backwards in the sky, backwards through the constellations. Instead of moving Aries through Pisces, it will move Pisces to Aries. It moves in the other direction. It's going to come over that midheaven of his. It's going to come over his Sun, and it will come over his Mercury. So if the man is elected, it is going to be a rough time. Very quickly. The honeymoon will be over very, very quickly. And this is not pleasant for anyone. I was talking to a group of, it was third graders. They were doing a book report, and you're supposed to pick someone famous and try to get voted on. And this doesn't have to be a politician. It could be anybody in history that's done good things. And the question was raised, why would anyone want to be president? They say so many mean things about you. And that's a good question. It's an odd thing. We have the privilege in this country, and yes, I'm getting patriotic here for the moment. We have this privilege in this country that, you know, freedom of speech, and it allows us to criticize, not necessarily just speak our opinions, but criticize public people. Without much recourse. You know, they're public figures. It's like, you know, it's a free-for-all. Very, very, I mean, you have got to really cross the line before something can be done about it, you know, for anyone could, you know, take you to court or shame you or make you do a retraction. There's something wrong with that. There's just something wrong with that. Yes, I do think our politicians should be held accountable. But, you know, throwing tomatoes at them is not holding them accountable. It's just, you know, or mudslinging. You know, it just isn't. So there you go. There's my political bit. All right. As his chart in general, he will be moving, again, after the new year for Jupiter, after it goes from Sagittarius to Capricorn. This man is definitely making a major move in his home, in his household. So that's why when I first looked at this chart, I'm like, well, he certainly could be moving to Washington, D.C., you know, after Thanksgiving this year, because he's moving somewhere. He will definitely be moving somewhere. And I looked at Hillary's chart, Hillary Clinton's, and daggone if she doesn't have the same thing going on. It's odd, but you know, it. Except for with her, it's not Jupiter that's going from the third house to the fourth house, which is, you know, kind of a classic astrology thing for, you know, doing something in your household and possibly, you know, moving, buying a new house, certainly refinancing in these day and ages instead of just physically moving. But, it's a good indication. She's got Saturn in her third house, which will be moving to the fourth house, not until later in 2009, but still, that's a move. That's a big move. So I don't know if she's going to go back, you know, somewhere else and then move after that or what. But I thought that was fascinating. Unless they end up, and I can't see at this point. I think they've both crossed the line. They are not going to be partners in any way, shape, or form. One will not be president. They're not going to be running on the same ticket together. That's what I'm trying to say. I think that was almost possible a month ago, but not now. So, okay, let's talk, see where Barack Obama and Oprah Winfrey. Now, Oprah was the first one to come out, first celebrity to come out and endorse Barack Obama. Oprah had never endorsed, to my knowledge at any rate, any presidential candidate like this, you know, not so early in the race, not coming out and saying, yes, this is who I want to see as the next president of the United States. She was born January 29th, 1954. When she was born, the sun was in Capricorn, not Aquarius, and I'll talk about that in a minute. It's just talk about playing it safe, and she has, well, I'll talk about her in a minute. I want to talk about their two charts together. Barack Obama was born August 4th, 1961. His son was in Cancer, 18 degrees of Cancer, and it's got Mercury, Cancer in the midheaven up there. Libra rising, of course. And I know you see all these Libra with politicians and people in the military. And they should be. I mean, they're good at making strategic moves. That's what we like. That's what we need, you know, in those positions. So one would expect that. They can be certainly diplomatic when they need to be, and they can be nothing but, you know, there's no emotion there. It's just, you know, it's just very like, you know, what does the head say to do? So, you know, you've got that going on. And so it's always nice to see a balance, you know, like Barack Obama does have his son in Cancer, so there is an emotional component. You know, the man does have a heart, and a decent one, I should say. So at any rate, okay, just going back with him and Oprah. I want to see this as more than, you know, he's one of my own. I really want to see it as more than that. But I look at these two charts here, and I'm thinking, okay, she's got her sun in Capricorn as well as the North Node, Venus, Mercury, and her Chiron. Okay, it's all in Capricorn. What he has in Capricorn is Saturn and Jupiter, which are essentially outer planets. We don't think of them as outer planets anymore because we've got everything past that, all the planets past that, which we cannot see. But originally, Saturn and Jupiter were the outer planets. They're in a constellation for a year, in Jupiter's case, 13 months actually, or 2 to 2.5 years in Saturn's case. And so that's a lot of people that have... I was looking for something a bit more personal. With Jack Nicholson and Hillary Clinton, there were a lot of close personal planets that had interactions together. And that makes sense. Not, you know, it's like, okay, this is lots of people born in 1960, 1961, 1962 even, that she would have this connection with. So, okay, that's a little too wide for me. When I see her ascendant at 17 Leo, okay, that's a little bit better. It picks up a lot of his Leo stuff. But he has Uranus, North Node, part of Fortune, Pluto and Mars all in Leo, but not a lot of it close at that 17 degrees. It literally falls between his Pluto and his Mars. His Pluto's at 13 degrees, his Mars at 29. That's where the ascendant falls. Her Pluto, which is a way outer planet, is sitting on his Uranus, another outer planet. So it's like, okay, well, this is generational. I mean, lots and lots of people are going to have this connection. I wanted to see something a lot tighter, you know, considerably tighter, to say, yes, I really do believe in your ideology, and it's not just, you know, one of my own kind. You know, it's like when we watch, you know, American Idol, just for, you know, lack of anything else better, thinking about the people around here were cheering. They said, were you cheering for the guy from Manassas? This was not this year. It was last year. And I'm like, yeah, sure. I have no clue as to who he is. I have no clue as to what songs he sang because I'm generally not up watching it. I'm working in some capacity that time of the evening. But I would listen in the morning to see how he was doing because he was one of my own. You know, he's right here in Virginia with me, you know, 6 miles from the town that I'm in, you know, and you pull for your own. So that's very normal. It's a very human thing to do. But I wanted to see something tighter. The only thing they've got seriously tight is, because it is so time-oriented, is Oprah Winfrey's Part of Fortune, but it sits on his Neptune. And her Saturn, which also conjuncts her Part of Fortune, they're both in Libra, 14 degrees and 15 degrees, sit on his 15-degree Neptune. And I'm saying that with, you know, could we have found something closer, better, something less murky, something less deceitful? And I love Neptune. I love Neptune for all the good that it does. But it's the one planet, it's like you can't trust it completely because it's all about illusion. And that's what the connection is. And I'm like, okay, The only thing else that picks up at 15 degrees, and it's what's called a quincunx, which is not an easy degree, it's an adjustment degree, is Oprah Winfrey's midheaven, which is what you think you are, you know, in public. And, again, that Neptune of Barack Obama's, and, you know, several million other people who had Neptune at 15 degrees that day. So, I don't know. I was hoping for something a lot tighter, a lot closer. So, but you get what you get. You know, that's one thing I do like about astrology. Yes, it is an interpretive art, you know, and you can, and I certainly have at times interpreted not quite as I should have, but it is math, and that's what you get. You get math with that. All right, let me talk here about Oprah Winfrey's chart for a minute. Oh, goodness. Okay, I shouldn't say it like that. Hello, caller. I'm going to skip Oprah.
Hi.
I know. Hi, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I am just fine. May I have your name, please?
Judy.
Hi, Judy.
Hi. I didn't mean to interrupt your talking.
No, please. But, you know, like I said, and I live here in Virginia. I'm in Northern Virginia and right next to D.C. If we probably talk and think too much about politics anyway. So last week I refused to do it. I said, no, I've got to take a break. But this week there's so much in the news I couldn't help it. No, you are a breath of fresh air, my dear. What is your birth date and how can I help you?
Okay, it's May 29th. Do you need the year?
Yes, I do.
1947.
Okay.
10:55 p.m., St. Joseph, Michigan.
That's that accent. I was wondering what that was.
That's an accent?
Well, I had an uncle from Michigan, so I'm
Oh,
from,
it's been many years since I've lived there.
Well, so was his, but I don't know. I don't know. It's a nice cadence of speech, I should say. There we go. St. Joseph, Michigan. Perfect. Okay, and what can I help you with?
I was just wondering how this year was going to be.
Okay, all right. That's a good one. First of all, when you were born, anyone born on May 29th of any year, the sun was still in Taurus, 14 degrees of Taurus. And you actually have three things there, the North Node, which is close. So you were born close to an eclipse, probably a couple days after an eclipse. And then Uranus was there also, which would be generational. But you are a practical person. Saturn, let me do this again. Sagittarius rising, which makes you fun, but Jupiter is really close to that. So this year, I can tell you this, since last Thanksgiving, you've actually probably put on some weight, and I'm hoping it's muscle and not, you know, love handles. But what should have been happening is you've been getting opportunities to expand, possibly to travel, to take classes, to do things, and I hope you've been saying yes to at least some of these things.
Okay.
If you haven't been, you said 10:55 p.m.?
Yes.
You are not paying attention. You are being offered to doing all kinds of things. That's it. And it's going to continue like that from now until next Thanksgiving. So pay attention because you should be either, if you haven't, like I said, either a new class, a new group of people you've been hanging out with, new things to doing. I don't care if it's ballroom dancing. I don't care what it is. Just going out and exploring new things. Plus with Saturn, and that's what I was looking up there, transiting Saturn is up in your ninth house, which is usually about study or travel or property, buying property somewhere. I'm thinking your year, well, relationship changes. Look at this, Mars in that seventh house. If you haven't been, like, moving and grooving and doing all kinds of things, I don't know when you are. I mean, look at this. This chart is just, like, alive with all kinds of things happening.
Okay.
And you're saying, no, I've been just not at all,
no,
you know, just going to work every day or?
No, but I did travel quite a bit last year, but I'm trying to learn so much.
Well, that's what you should be doing. Now, if you're asking me how to go about it the best way so you absorb the most information, okay, because that's it, because that is almost the trouble. When I see a chart like this with these kind of transits, and I know so many things are being offered at once, it's sort of like being at a buffet.
Right.
When you come out, it's like, oh, I'm I don't really remember what I liked the best because I didn't have the time to have enough of that one thing.
Right.
Start prioritizing right now. Absolutely prioritizing and say to yourself, what in 2 years from now, what will I have said, I really wanted to do that.
Okay.
And go for those things. As far as learning so much, you are just going to be like a sponge. So I'd rather, if you would concentrate on one or two things instead of having a half a dozen in front of you, I think you're just at the end of, this kind of long transit here, you will feel like, wow, I have, I feel more accomplished. You're going up in the public eye. So I would pick areas of your life that you want to excel at and want people to know you for.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are going to certainly, with everything that you're learning now and that you're doing, and it might be volunteer. It might not be a paid-for position. It's kind of up to you. It might be a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like you to be spending your time in 2 years, because you're going to be. You're going to be heading something up, or you're going to be in the center of attention doing something. I would like it to be the thing that you wanted to do, or wanted to be known for.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Kind of.
Please, always tell me if I don't, because
I'm so confused.
Well, what in the world have you been doing? I can see all these new people that have been coming in your life. Who are they? What group do they belong to?
Well, I can't think of any new people. I'm on BBS a lot listening, trying to learn as much as I can.
Okay.
And I'm on the computer a lot trying to read and listen.
Well, if you started doing that a lot in September, then that is your new community.
Okay.
I would connect, it's as much as possible in the next month, and then, because what you're going to do from May to the middle of June is you're going to sort out, and you'll do this hopefully in your own mind,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to having to experience it, you're going to sort out who and what you can trust.
Okay.
Maybe that'll help you pare down to one or two things that you want to really concentrate your energy on, really, get into learning.
Right. And then been happening.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. Well, it'll intensify even more, like I said, between May and June. And I don't want you to get, jaded, I guess I should say. It's like, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking?
Mm-hmm.
If you pick one or two things as opposed to a dozen different, and it's not that you can't listen to different things or read different things, but just focus on that.
Right.
And then that'll be good. But no, I still see traveling. I do know that after November, your money situation, not that it's necessarily bad now, but should be getting a lot better. So kind of gear yourself to, what am I going to do? Either with extra money to invest or where to put it or...
About that all the time.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that a good thing? I love that.
Well,
isn't that fun?
You have to think positive.
Well, you do have to think positive. That's it. But, it's always kind of fun. So
that's good to know what's going to happen.
Yeah. No, you've had lots of different things going on, and that's... it's exciting.
Good.
I know, it just is.
Sounds great.
Well, good. Well,
thank you very much.
Well, you're more than welcome, and thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, I did put in a short plug for BBS there. If you are a regular listener and you appreciate what you do here on the station, and you will hear topics on the station, you will hear certainly programs on the station that you will not hear just anywhere else. You can do one or two things to help support that. You can go to the BBS website and press that donate button and send some money to the good people that put this on, because it takes equipment, costs electricity, salaries have to be paid, and all the rest of that. It's a nice way to say you appreciate it. And also, with the particular host that you're listening to, please purchase their services, or at least some of them, when the mood strikes you, because, again, that's how help helps keep them on air, let them know that you are a BBS listener, and they'll know where their revenue is coming from. So, you know, it kind of works, you know, sort of shopping locally, I guess, shopping in your own community. All right, let me finish up here because the time is going on us with Oprah Winfrey. Now, Oprah Winfrey is one of the charts that I use when I'm going to astrological communities to discuss the difference between sidereal and tropical charts, because it is such an obvious thing when you look at her chart. It's just hard to imagine. Oprah Winfrey was born January 29th, 1954. According to tropical astrology, she's got three planets, the Sun, Venus, and Mercury, all in Aquarius, which, you know, and you know the stereotypical Aquarius. If you don't know anything at all about astrology, you have in your mind the stereotypical Aquarius, you know, on the cutting edge, wild and wacky, and all those other things, sort of this Einstein, you know, brilliant but doesn't quite fit in type. And I've heard astrologers use her chart and talk about how, you know, she rose up from the ranks and, you know, her background and everything and became this brilliant businesswoman. And they'll actually use that phrase, which I love because I'm up next, and created this, you know, incredible television show and magazine and satellite radio thing, everything, this whole huge and the foundation that she has. Okay, there is nothing wild, wacky, or crazy about that. This woman is a Capricorn. She methodically, she had a plan, and it was a darn good one, and she will change when she needs to change, because Capricorns will do that. To start up something new when they have to. And if she did not please the corporate sponsors in the beginning, which Aquarians rarely do, but Capricorns always do, she never would have even been given a chance to do what she did. She wouldn't have the following that she does now. I have great admiration for this woman personally, not only because of where she came from and what she has done with her life, but because how she gives back over and over and over again. But there is nothing wild and wacky about this woman, nothing crazy, nothing even particularly innovative about this woman. She does classic, tried and true methods to reach out to people. And you say, well, gee, what about the Internet? Well, for heaven's sakes, everybody uses the Internet who's got any sort of common sense, because, and any Capricorn can tell you that. It's like, no, if I want to reach the next generation, if I want to reach the masses, that's what I do. If I want to, you know, catch the next wave, and these are good business decisions, these are good Capricorn decisions, satellite radio, internet radio, those are places to be. And, you know, she covers all her bases, very Capricornian. So she's got the Sun, Venus, Mercury, North Node, there's that North Node again, and Chiron, all in Capricorn, in her sixth house. She loves to work. She loves to take things, take her to-do list, her task list, start in the morning, start checking it off, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And at the end of the day, she'll look back and say, yeah, I got all that done. That's a good feeling. I love working with people who have a packed sixth house, because they work. When I say a packed sixth house, I mean more than three planets. Even three planets is good, but more than three planets in that house, these people have this incredible, it doesn't even matter what sign it's in, this incredible work ethic. They're wonderful. She's got Leo rising sidereally, which makes ever so much sense. You know, it's O Magazine. It's Oprah. She is always on the cover of her magazine. And I have Leo rising, so I mean, I don't think this is a bad thing. I recognize this instinctively. Of course she's on the cover of her own magazine. She does not have, as tropical astrologers would lead you to believe, Virgo rising. And they'll say, well, what about all that hard work she does? All that she likes to work, she likes to fix things. I just said it. She's got a packed sixth house. That's the work ethic. It's not Virgo. It has nothing to do with Virgo in her chart. She's not about improving things. Matter of fact, most of the subjects that she's talking about and the things that they discuss and, you know, the shows that are planning, improving your life, improving, you know, your relationships, improving this. But these are tried and true popular things to discuss. These are what the polls have said women want to hear about. This is not innovation. It's brilliant, and I'm in no way, taking away what she's done, but it's not Virgo. It's very Capricorn. And up top here at the midheaven, she's got the midheaven, she's got Jupiter, both in Taurus. And her generosity is known, her cooperation. Now, this is one of the things about Taurus, which is always cracked me up. Taurians, sun sign Taurians, and that means you were born sidereally between May 13th and June 15th, or somewhere thereabouts, are considered stubborn. Okay, yes, they can be stubborn. I should say we can be stubborn. But that's only when we're not being at our best. What Taurians are known for, the joke is that they're your local banker, right? You know, that's a joke. You know, they list all these professions, and at the end, your local banker, ha, ha, ha. Well, that's because it's not just this gross love of money or what money can buy you, and because that's the real thing, and that's certainly Oprah has amassed a great fortune. But you can't do it without cooperating. You absolutely cannot make a fortune or accomplish things in this world without cooperating with someone, and usually a great many someones, to get your product, to get your voice, to get your whatever it is you're pushing out there. You've got to cooperate with people. You have to cooperate with the current mood. You have to cooperate with the law and make sure these things happen. This woman had to cooperate with a lot of people who did not look or sound like her. You know, she's from the South, for heaven's sakes. A black woman and a white, very, you know, it's Chicago. It's North, you know, male world when she got started. And she was cooperative in public doing that Taurian thing. And, you know, it's worked. It's absolutely worked. That was her methodology. And, you know, I hope she has many more years of it. I think she's done a great deal of good, not just with, you know, her giving away things, but with her show. You know, she encourages people to read. She encourages them to be empowered. She encourages them to look at their own life, look at their finances, look at their relationships. Amazing woman. Absolutely amazing. But she is a Capricorn. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Okay, we've only got a few more minutes left. We probably don't even have time for one more caller because I think there's only 4 minutes left. So let me do a couple of advertisements here, I guess, for BBS Radio. If you appreciate what you hear at this station, please go to PBS, the site, and every once in a while, you can go ahead and hit that donate button or purchase directly from the people who host PBS shows and tell them you're a PBS listener. So they know where that's coming from, and that certainly gives them more incentive to stay on the air. You can read my free weekly horoscopes on my site, mybirthchart.com. That's mybirthchart.com. As free weekly sidereal horoscopes, and of course all the services up there that you can purchase. And if you are interested, which is, I'm with my chart, it makes so much sense. Right now, I am so excited about this detoxing with these Isagenix products. In order to find out more about that, go to Debs Detox, DebsDetox.isagenix, isagenix.com. And they've got a video there. They've got all kinds of on that particular site. They've got all kinds of product information. You can email me at horoscopelady, that's horoscopelady at msn.com, to ask questions about Isagenix and what I recommend. Or to ask a question, to have me talk about it on the show, or anything else that you might like that pertains to this show or what I do for a living. And we are down to almost one more minute. I know they're going to be cutting over here pretty darn soon. So what do I want to talk about? Let's talk about planetary things going on with the planets. If you, oh goodness gracious, where did it go? Okay, if you right now are a sun sign Aquarius, which means you were born between February 13th and March 13th, and you have not had a picture taken recently, either for your driver's license or a headshot or something, go do it now. Do it before Wednesday when Venus goes into Pisces. In that case, if you are a sun sign Pisces, March 13th to April 13th, you will have about a month that you can go, and you just look more lovely. I don't know how else to describe it. I don't know why this happens, but when Venus transits either someone's rising sign or their sun natal sun sign, they just appear more lovely. So I always suggest, being that I am a Leo rising, that that's a good time to go get pictures taken, either family portraits, snapshots, headshots. Let me see, I've got to get my driver's license done. I was going to try to get it done while the sun was going, while Venus was going through Taurus, but I don't think I can do that without it going too late, but there you go. Vanity, thy name is woman. Okay, that's about all the time we have right now. Please stay tuned next week, and I'll be on the air at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. California Time, and this is Deb's the Horoscope Lady, saying goodnight now. Bye.